There was a story of an older farmer gentleman who was flying across country for the holiday, and he thought, boy, that would be a long flight. That'd be a good time to get a nap. And so he got on the plane, and he's hunkered down, and he's all comfortable. And wouldn't you know, this young, well-dressed lawyer comes in, sits right beside him, and he wants to talk. So he's talking and talking, and the guy's trying to ignore him. And so the lawyer finally says, let's play a game. And the farmer's like, oh, my goodness. So the lawyer says, I'll ask you a question, and if you don't know the answer, you give me $5. And you ask me a question, and if I don't know it, I'll give you $500. Well, that kind of piqued the interest of the old guy, so he said, okay. So the lawyer said something about, you know, the distance between planets of this and that and the other thing, and the old guy just reached in his pocket and got a $5 bill and handed it to him. Tried to go back to sleep. So the guy says, well, wait a minute. Now you got to ask me a question. So the old farmer thought about it a minute, and he says, okay, what goes up the hill with three legs and comes down with four? So the lawyer gets on the internet, and he gets on Google, and he's calling his friends, and they're doing research and all this stuff. And he finally handed the guy $500. So the farmer put it in his pocket and went back to sleep. So the lawyer says, wait a minute. You didn't tell me. What goes up the hill with three legs and comes down with four? And the farmer looked at him and took a $5 bill out and handed it to him. So after that, we need to pray. So, Father God, this time is yours. This church is yours. These people are yours. And this message is yours. So I pray, Lord God, that even though I have some preparation here, that if you want to change anything, you're welcome. And I just ask that your power of your Holy Spirit speak through me and speak to hearts, that hearts would be open to what you want to do this morning. In Jesus' name. I want to start with a testimony that I have. It may not quite look like it this morning yet, but I have a testimony of, you know, that most of you know that I've been, for most of 2015, I've been battling different things, and I'm on the upswing now. But testimony is, you know, whenever I was in the hospital for almost 5 weeks, and then they told me that when I got home, I would have to have the PIC line in, and Jen would have to learn how to put the antibiotics on it, and plus I had a little thing of oral antibiotics I had to take, and they said that would be for, I don't know, another 6 weeks or something. Well, then about a week before I got out of the hospital, they come through and said, you don't need the IV anymore. And then they came through and pulled the PIC line out. So I said, the nurse told me that was going to happen. I said, that's good news. She said, that's very good news. So then just a day or two before I left, when they brought the little awful-tasting medicine around, they said, this is your last one. You don't need it. So I went home with no medication. And praise the Lord for that. but also, this whole thing is, it shows the greatness of the Lord, because on another whole page, some years ago, we were totally out of debt. We didn't know anybody anything. And then my in-laws bought a house in Natrona Heights. What they wanted to do was buy one and fix it up and sell it and make some money. And they didn't trust the way the market was going, so they figured they'd invest in that. Nothing wrong with that. The only problem is, Just about a month after they bought the house, Jan's dad came out with Alzheimer's, and it was spreading really fast, or it was growing really fast. He was going downhill quick. So they wanted to go to Concordia. But then that meant they wanted to get their assets kind of taken care of. And anyway, out of the family, we got elected to buy the house, which I didn't want to do. I fought a tooth and nail, and because I never wanted a rental unit. But it ended up, we rented it. And we, for a short time, we had a bad experience with that. But then we got some real good renters in, and they were Christians. And one of the things I never liked about rental units, you're on call all the time to come and fix stuff. Well, this guy fixed the things on his own. He invested in the house on his own. And the neat part of the story is the basement was awful, and he changed it. He was going to make a man cave, but he made a whole living area down there. And this house, you can walk in the side door, and you can go up to the kitchen or down to the basement, so it's got like a separate outside entrance. But anyway, it's actually a livable apartment down there now. So here I get out of the hospital, then we start getting all these thousands of dollars of doctor bills, and all of a sudden we get a call from our tenant. They're moving to Florida. So here's a house going to be empty in December, and you know what that means. You know, how do you even rent or sell a house in December? A couple days later, my son brought a guy from work, and make a long story short, we have a signed sales agreement on the house for full price. And he is a Mexican who was living in Houston, and his wife and kids are still in Houston, but he works with my son at Oberg, and Oberg is using him for a translator. They have a plant in Costa Rica, and his job is going to be bringing guys from Costa Rica and training them and sending them back. And they need a place. They're supposed to live with him. So there's this apartment downstairs. I mean, God had all that worked out. And there I was freaking out about it. I got this stupid house, and I'm in debt up to my ears. And on top of that, if we get the full price for the house, if he gets his financing right and everything, we could possibly get rid of all the doctor bills too. And we'll be back out of debt. So God is great. So along that line, I want to thank everybody for their faithful prayers, because your prayers and the prayers of others saved my life. I couldn't pray for myself when I was in the hospital. I was really on my way out. And the devil wanted to take me out, but you know what? He lost. So there were many other acts of kindness too, but my gosh, flip to James here. But there were many other acts of kindness too. There were people that, you know, we have a wood heated house. I have more firewood now than I have had for years, probably, due to friends and family. And a lot of people stepped up to help Jan, because that was right in the middle of canning season, and she was in our garden. Naturally, it picked this year to be overabundant. And so, plus she had a couple of festivals that she was already locked into. So it was kind of a wild ride, but we did see God's provision and faithfulness. Never let us down, ever, 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 never will. So the first scripture I wanted to read was James 5:13-18, and it says, "Are any of you suffering hardship? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. It doesn't say might heal the sick. It doesn't say if you're lucky. It doesn't say if you're good enough. It doesn't, you know, it says it will heal the sick. And the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. And the earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah, this is kind of tying into my sermon, this next couple of verses. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. There was part of the concern I've had. Back when I went in the hospital, I was getting ready to do a sermon on who we are in Christ. And I guess the pastor stepped in and did that, but which is good. But one of the concerns that I've had over the many years of being in the church is that a lot of the people in the church, even if they're spirit-filled, don't know who they are in Christ. They don't, even if they're filled with the Holy Spirit, it seems to me that a lot of people think, I have Holy Spirit, but it's not as much as like Pastor Steve or some of these other ministers or big-time ministers. You know, I just have some. Or I've even heard comment, you know, maybe that's all God has for me. And I want to tell you, you know, the Holy Spirit is not fragmented, divided, or pieced out as we, quote-unquote, earn it. It's a gift of grace. And talking about Bethel Church, I have a niece and her husband were home from Bethel Church over Christmas. And probably the only reason I can even stand up long enough to preach today, because they prayed for me. But he was telling us that their junior church just sees massive healings. These little kids have the Holy Spirit, and they're not afraid to use it. And they go around, and they're starting another junior church for special needs kids. And they're just a really active place out there. In fact, Devin, you going to run a video? I have a little video clip. Wait till I tell you to start it, Devin. I've been talking about these videos since Christmas because they gave me... Yeah, don't start it yet. They gave me these two videos. And these are, if you ever heard of a director named Darren Wilson, he's made a lot of Christian videos. And he kind of goes out into the wild side. But this time, when they did these two, one of them is just called Holy Ghost, and the other one is called Holy Ghost Reborn. And what they did was they got all their camera equipment and all their stuff ready to go, packed their bags, and then they said, okay, Holy Spirit, where do you want us? And they just took off wherever they felt the Lord leading, just kind of like Paul did, you know. And then once they got to their destination, they said, okay, why are we here? Who are we here for? What do you want us to do? And they had some amazing, amazing results. This is only a trailer from the first one because each one is full-length. They're full-length documentaries. And I just wanted to give you an idea of what's in them. So you roll it.
He's a gift from the Father. And if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone.
We're here filming a Christian documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. About the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
All over the earth.
Hey, listen, guys. Before you go up in there, like, listen.
Listen.
Brian and Fieldy and me, we want to pray for you right now as you're going through, regardless of what you believe, okay? If you've never given your life to Jesus, come up here. Do it right now.
I've never been the same since. And since I asked Jesus into my heart and into my life, I've never been the same.
I hold that today, speaking generally, there's been a silent divorce in the church between the Word and the Spirit.
Walking with Jesus, filled by the Holy Spirit, is so much better than anything you could do for God. You know, any work, any art. I mean, because you become the art. You become the work.
It's one of my biggest prayers. Two prayers, not to ever be offended by anybody ever again the rest of my life. And to be the perfect conduit for what the Holy Spirit wants to do.
As the church just said, okay, God, no more boxes, no more limits, no more we have to control everything. And we just gave God total control. Yeah, it's scary, but I think that's the way that we are meant to live.
This is a movie about risk. I want to take the greatest risk possible as a filmmaker, to make a movie that is completely led by the Holy Spirit. No plan, no safety net. Just show up wherever he leads me, find the adventure, and make God famous.
That's what we're about, making God famous. So, one reason I wanted to preach without notes is as I said, many Christians seem to be unaware of the power that's in them. They think they could never do amazing things like that. You know, I've heard so many testimonies of people that didn't know what they were doing, people that just got saved and prayed for somebody, or a little kid praying for somebody, or people that didn't even want to pray for somebody, or they prayed for somebody who didn't even believe in healing. And it all matters. What matters is God's there. I'm thinking of this one testimony, and this was Randy Clark, big guy. Big guy, and he's got the big ministry, and he takes people, school, teaching people to heal and all this stuff, just like Bill Johnson on the other end of the United States. And he had this big meeting going on, and he's into impartation, where he can pray for somebody and give them gifts of the Spirit. So he had this big meeting. I don't remember how many people were there, but there was there was a balcony, and he had his students up on the balcony, and he told the people, he says, I'm going to be praying for impartation. If you need healing, you go up on the balcony, and my students will pray for you up there. So that seemed well and good, but then this lady comes up to Randy Clark, and she says, I want you to pray for me. And he says, she had Parkinson's, it was advanced, and she was in really bad shape. And he said, they're praying for healing up there. I'm not praying for healing down here. And she's like the woman that went to the unjust judge. She kept coming back and coming back. And finally, he wore out, and she said, God told me if you prayed for me, I'd be healed. So he just put his hand up and said, Holy Spirit, and she fell down. So he says, good, I can do what I want to do. She's laying on the floor. So he goes through all these people praying for impartation and stuff. And meanwhile, there's healing prayer going up on the balcony. And he comes back to her, and she's laying on the floor, and she's looking at her arm. And he talked to the woman's husband, and the husband says, people with Alzheimer's can't do, or not Alzheimer's, Parkinson's can't do that. So pretty soon she sits up and she asks her husband for a glass of water. And she drank a glass of water, and he said she hasn't been able to drink like that, you know, for a long time. She was healed. And then she asked Randy Clark, is there a piano around here? And she he said, well, up on the stage there's a keyboard. So she went up, started to play and sing beautifully. I guess her and her husband were worship leaders. And whenever she came down with Alzheimer's, she walked away from it because she was so embarrassed. So she was totally healed. And there, Randy Clark, big faith-filled guy, didn't even want to pray for her. And that's, God showed up because he said, if Randy prays for you, you'll be healed. And I think I shared this other one before about in Randy's ministry where there was a guy that was an alcoholic, and his wife was after him for years, go to church, come to church with me. And he finally felt guilty and says, you know, maybe I ought to do that. So he tried to clean himself up. And every time he would make his mind up that he was going to go to church, he'd fall off the wagon. So then he'd be embarrassed and he wouldn't go to church. So this one day he finally made it. And turned out they were taking a mission trip to another country to pray for healing and stuff. Well, first day in church, he gives his life to the Lord, hears about this mission trip, and he says, that sounds something interesting. You know how new believers are. So that's as much education as he had. And so they were going on this mission trip. He missed the plane, and he had to take another plane. And when he finally got to where he was supposed to be, he was like 48 hours without sleep. And here they are in this meeting, and he's standing up in the front row with the people that are to be praying for people. And his prayer to God was, Lord, just send me something easy like a headache. He wanted to pray for someone, but he just, you know, something easy, something simple. And he sees a guy coming down the aisle in a wheelchair. And he says, no, not him, no. And he didn't even look at the guy. You know, he just kind of, if I don't look at him, he'll go to somebody else, you know. And next thing you know, he felt somebody tugging his pant leg, and there's the guy in the wheelchair. So then he didn't know what to do, so he just started praying as best he knew how, put his hands on the guy's shoulder. He said, and his head kept going down and going down and going down. He said, just before he started to snore, because remember, he's been out without sleep for a couple of days. The guy jumps up and gives him a bear hug, and he's crying all over the guy's shirt. And he was a veteran, and he was shot in the stomach, which went through his spine, and the doctor said he would never walk again. And in that instant, this guy that didn't know, didn't have any idea what he was doing, been a Christian for 10 minutes, you know, prayed for him, and he stood up, and he was healed. And my nephew, or niece's husband, Ben, who prayed for me, had a very similar experience out in California. He's in the school out there. This is his second year. But in the first year of schooling out there, a veteran who had, he couldn't move his back, and he couldn't move his hands. And Ben just prayed for him, and the guy started giggling, and Ben says, what's going on? And he started wiggling his hands, and then he bent over and touched the floor, and he was even on Bethel TV the one night, so giving that testimony. So I said all that to underscore no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you got the Holy Spirit, you got everything. All God asks is, you're going to choose to obey me. So, he's not given as we, quote-unquote, deserve him. And it's just by grace. It's by Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So that's why we have the Holy Spirit. I got some scriptures to read. And sorry, it's a little... maybe a little awkward here, but we'll get over it, right? There's a few Ephesians here. There's scripture to this. If you read what Jesus did, and it's just apply it to your life, it's amazing. Okay, so Ephesians 1:19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And then if you skip up to chapter 2, verse 6, sounds kind of familiar. It says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? One verse says about Jesus being seated in the heavenly realms, and then the other verse, just a few verses down or further on, said he raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. That being seated, you know that means authority. What's Armstrong County? The county seat. You know, the Gatanning, where the courthouse is. Everywhere there's a courthouse, they call it the county seat. That's because that's where the authority is centrally located. So we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Okay. Then Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And verses 19 and 20 in the same chapter, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's in us. Back to Luke now. Luke 10:19. I'm getting there. I got fat fingers and skinny pages, so I'm going to have to. Okay. This is when Jesus said he saw Satan fall from lightning, like from heaven like lightning. Said, look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority over all the power of the enemy. Then Romans 8:11, that's the one that's already been alluded to this morning. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us and grants life to our mortal body, through that same Spirit. So, we have our main excuse, I think, which is we don't believe. Because if we believe, We are made for His power living in us. And, you know, this is not condemnation. This is just an observation over years in the church. So don't throw rocks at me or anything. Mess up my Christmas shirt. The answer is for us to be more intentional in our faith, to develop habits in keeping with Christian lifestyle. My wife and I were talking about what it takes to make something a habit. And I think she said 2 months. 2 months of doing something makes it a habit, but the first month is what makes it easier. After the first month, it's a little easier to keep going. And after 2 months, it's a habit. And there are so many things in the Christian life that would be beneficial to be habits. Yeah, we hear them all the time, you know, reading the Bible and prayer. And also, the Spirit-filled believer with the prayer language, speaking in the tongues that the God has given you, powerful, powerful. So being intentional about that is the only way to build the habit. Intentionality is kind of like work. You know, whenever you get up in the morning, you got to be intentional, right? Especially in this kind of weather. It's like, but it's real easy to maybe not do it, especially after you're retired. You're either tired or retired. But Ephesians 4:1. Paul's even addressing this. He says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling." I think he recognized that Christians kind of were not as intentional as they should have been back then. Lead a life worthy of your calling. He called you to greater works, to things that you can't even imagine. I mean, one thing that inspired me, this video that I just showed you the clip of, is that these guys could just go and say, "Holy Spirit, what do you want?" And you practically have to, well, you do have to see the whole thing to get the full effect, but one of the places they went, the oldest city in the world in India, and the one guy you saw, he was walking there with a guitar on his back. Well, he went through the streets of India playing guitar and singing Christian songs. And in this town, which is the center of their highest god. Remember, they have a few million gods over there. I don't know how they keep track of them. But he's walking through the street singing and playing guitar and singing Amazing Grace. And then he went into a thing, kind of a song he made up just about freedom. And here this, now this is, remember, this is being led by the Spirit. I mean, they knew going into this town and this city that they didn't like Christians and they didn't like foreigners and they didn't like, you know. And he's walking right through the streets doing this. And this guy walks up to them and says, "Can I carry your guitar case for you?" And he said, "Well, sure." So he's going through the streets and singing these songs and stuff. And the guy asks him, he says, "Would you like to take a tour of one of the temples?" Turns out he was the high priest of what they called the monkey temple. And they said, "Okay, well, lead the way." So the priest was leading them, and he was going to go to the monkey temple, but whenever they got close to it, the priest turned off. And they said, "Uh-oh, what's going on here?" And they went to, instead, the main temple in that town, which is the temple of Shiva, who is their highest god, the god of destruction. And foreigners and Christians in that are not even permitted, you know. Well, it turned out this guy's the high priest of that temple also. And they went right through. They come out the other side. There's steep steps going down to the Ganges River. They're sitting on the steps outside this temple, and this guy's, the high priest, asked him to sing that freedom song. And so he's singing that, and the high priest is there clapping just like he's a charismatic Christian somewhere, you know. And only God could do something like that. And after their whole experience in that city, there was a pastor or two there that said that when they heard that this group was coming, they hired bodyguards for them because they figured, man, they're going to need it. And the guy says, nobody ever touched us. So that's probably, for us, that's extreme. But at the same time, the power of God's real in us too. We could go, I'll give you a short testimony from Jan and I last year. My son and his wife, future wife, hopefully soon, they like to hang out at this one restaurant and bar, and they have a lot of friends there. And we've met a lot of them, and they're all nice people. They just drink beer, and they need Jesus, you know. So once in January every year, they have a pig roast outside. And I forget what they call it, but it's Are You Tough Enough Pig Roast. And the proceeds for it go to either Children's Hospital or the Wounded Warriors Project or something. And last year, my son donated the two pigs. So they don't have it at behind the restaurant, there's like a little campground, and they have a tent pitched, and that's where it is in January out there in the cold. So we decided to go last year, and those people warmed right up to us. And they know I don't drink. They know I'm a reverend, you know. But at the same time, I never thought I would do anything like that. I never thought I'd want to do anything like that. And then after I got past that, I thought, well, what's that going to do for my witness? You know, people see me going into a place like that. And then I got to get past that. And then we decided to go. And when we did, picture this freezing cold tent, and people were eating food there and drinking beer and all this. I had soft drink. But we're standing around talking to them, and the one guy says, I think I have a torn rotator cuff. He's telling my son, you know. And I said, well, let's pray for you. So here I am in the middle of all these people holding beer bottles and stuff, and Jan and I and my son and Amy are gathered around this guy praying for him. Now, I wasn't as far along in the healing ministry understanding as I am now, as to keep pressing in. So I don't know if he got healed or not then, but that's something I was either afraid of doing or didn't know how other people, I was afraid, you know, fear of man, didn't know how other people would, and never thought I'd want to do that. Now that I've done it, it's fun. And so we're going back this year. I mean, I don't know what day it is. Yeah. So we're going to try to get there a little earlier because the food was kind of getting cold. But they wouldn't even take our money. You know, you're supposed to pay to go in to do that. And don't worry about it. So this year they probably will. anyhow, being intentional. And we have the authority that God has given us. Luke 11:19, I think I read that, didn't I? Yeah. So there's a mission that the church has. And I'm talking, when I say the church, I mean the body of Christ everywhere. We're part of the body of Christ. So if I say the church, I mean all them. And if I say New Hope, that's us. But there's a mission for the church, a main mission. Can anybody tell me what the main mission of the church is? That's a piece of it. That's not the main mission. What, Tammy? That's part of it. Worship. That's part of it. That's part of it. You're getting close, but that's part of it. All in and all done. What's that? That's part of it. Oh, I thought you were the one going to give me 500. No. The main mission of the church, main mission of the church, the body of Christ. Jesus said it in 1 John 3:8, the first half of the verse. He said that he came to destroy the works of the enemy. And all those things that have been mentioned, when you're doing those, you're destroying works of the enemy. But the main mission is to do whatever it takes to bring that guy down, to destroy his work. When you're praying for healing, you need healing because of the devil. So you're destroying his work. When you're praying for salvation, you're pulling someone out of his kingdom into God's kingdom, destroying the devil's work. You see what I mean? Even if you're just helping a neighbor, you're showing love, God's love to someone, that's destroying the work of the enemy because he hates that. And I think that's part of the church's problem. We don't realize how evil and tenacious our enemy is. I got all this stuff that I just went through right as I started to teach the older team about deliverance. Gee, coincidence, huh? You think I was trying to destroy the works of the evil one? So John 14:12 says we're made for greater works. And, you know, as, okay, I just said about 1 John saying that the main mission was Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And you could say, well, that's Jesus. But John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We are to complete what he started. Enforce what he started, I guess would be a better term. He's completed it. So as we identify the mission of the church, identify the main mission of the church. I like what Bill Johnson says. He says, if you're in submission, that means to come under the mission, to the main mission, then you receive a commission to be one of Christ's co-laborers. So the question is, what if I believed enough to be intentional enough about living out what God has given through his Spirit? What would happen? Just like those guys and made this film, they said, what if we went out and didn't have a plan or anything? We just said, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? And they, you know, you'd have to see the videos to see what happened. But they rocked the world wherever they went. There was one fella there. I got to tell this story, and then I'll try to close up here. But one of the people they ran into at the Mormon temple was an older evangelist from a non-Pentecostal background. And he said, if he even told them, we have the full Bible. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need the gifts of the Spirit. And he had been evangelizing outside the temple in Salt Lake City for 30 years. And he got 4 converts. And these guys went out and they were praying for a kid right outside the gate who had metal in his wrist. And they had words of knowledge over him and over some people in his family and stuff. Prayed for him, and you could see he gained full wrist movement. They had 4 converts in less than 30 minutes. So the power of the Holy Spirit is what we need to be intentionally showing. This area needs to see God has power. There's a lot of people out there that don't think he's any different than any other Allah or any other religion, quote, quote. But he's a person, and the Holy Spirit is a real person. And he's on our side, praise God. And, well, the question is, are we on his? But, John 7, last scripture, it's only one verse. John 7. And I'll be glad because I won't have to put my glasses on. 7:38. Yep. And it's got to be one of those ones that's split in the middle. You have to turn the page to get part of it. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me, and anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. I did a whole thing on a teaching on that one time. The only thing that keeps the rivers from living water from flowing through us is we don't believe. Randy Clark calls a lot of Christians unbelieving believers, because in that verse, when Jesus said, if you believe, rivers of living water flow from your heart, the devil's not going to be able to stop it, and God doesn't want to stop it. We're the only ones that can stop it. So, how do we do that? Helping those outside the church and letting them know the reason is that God loves them. That's a good place to start. And you know, I'm looking at a lot of people. I know people in here have helped other people in the community and stuff. So it's nothing new, but it needs to be more often, more intentional, and led by the Spirit. Because sometimes God may say, go do this for this person. Yeah, well, I don't want to do that because I don't like them. They parked in my grass one day, or their dog ran out and yelled at me. But being intentional for them, praying for them, just praying for people, praying for neighbors and friends in the area, praying for enemies, giving of time and resources, or just being a friend of the friendless. You know, sometimes people are just plain lonely, especially in the holiday season. Some of them don't have big families to gather around. And it would be a big boost to them just to say, you know, hey, come on over for a leftover turkey sandwich or something, you know. Or give what Bethel Church has done is they send vans out through this through the area, pick up prostitutes, bring them back to the church, and they said, we'll pay you whatever you usually get, but just come, we're going to have a meal, and you're invited. So they actually pay this woman, these women, to come in, and they have these tables set up, and it's all beautiful, fine china, and flowers on a table, and they have gifts for them, and they have a good meal. And they said, we just wanted to let you know Jesus loves you. And they have had many occasions where those women said, I want out of my lifestyle so bad. So that type of thing, I mean, that takes, of course, a budget and everything, and a lot of people, but still. We have a little statistic here. It says 50 people giving one act of blessing a week for 1 year is 2,600 small deeds done in God's name and God's love to a community. So one a week, just going over to Roger's house saying, hi, Roger, how you doing? God loves you. That counts, you know, and just being intentional. So that, like they said on that video clip, let's make God famous. Take him everywhere we go. I heard a pastor say one time, everywhere I go, I take myself with me and I mess everything up. But taking the Holy Spirit to the streets is what these guys are talking about. And that's what the Bible's talking about. And that's what Jesus talked about. So, Father, I just thank you for this morning. And I pray that your word has found its mark. And I just thank you for enabling me to bring a message. And I thank you for the work you're doing in my body. And I thank you for the plans you have for this church in the future as people make you famous in this area. In Jesus' name.